The key for understanding our epistle reading for today comes towards the end, when Peter says in verse 11, "In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." So what we do then as Christians should glorify God. But Christians, what does that word glorify mean? How would you define it? And it doesn't help that it's a word that we really only use in church these days. It's not the kind of word that you use in everyday conversation. And it doesn't help that it's used in three different ways, as we see even here in 1 Peter. Peter says that God may be glorified. He also says, to him belong the glory. And just after our reading, he will say, when his glory is revealed. So how do we make sense of all of this? Should we understand glory? And how does that help us to live as Christians? Well, glory involves two things. First of all, glory involves lifting something up, and it also involves drawing attention to it. If I do something that is glorious, if I do a glorious deed, it is something that is great and amazing. It's something which should be put up on a pedestal so everybody can see it. And lifted up in this way, people start talking about it, often praising it because of what has been done. So that's what glory means, to lift up and to draw attention or praise to itself. And when we think of glory in this way, all three ways of using this word will then make sense. If God is glorified by what we do, that means he's being lifted up, that he's being held up for everyone to talk about, for everyone to praise for what has been done. If I say, to God be the glory, that means that he deserves to be talked about, that he deserves to be praised for everything that he has done. And if I say that his glory is revealed, it's because God is already lifted up. He's high above all other things and therefore deserving of our praise. So we can see how all three of those then work together. This is what we mean by glory, to be lifted up and also to talk about it. And when we think of glory in this way, Christians, it helps us to see pretty clearly that glory has to have an object. It has to have a target, something that is being glorified. We can ask the question, what am I lifting up? What am I drawing attention to? And in reality, there's really only going to be one of two things. Either I'm going to draw that attention to myself, I'm going to glorify myself, or I'm going to glorify something else, to draw attention to that. And so in other words, when Peter says that we should glorify God by what we do, he wants us to ask ourselves a question. Is what I'm doing drawing attention towards me, or is it drawing attention towards God? Am I lifting myself up, or am I lifting up God? And how I answer that question will say a lot about how I live as a Christian. Now, of course, our first reaction is probably this. Of course, I want to glorify God. Of course, I want to give him the glory. Of course, I want to lift him up on high. I don't want to glorify myself. I want to do what is right for his sake. And Christians, that's a good attitude to have. We should seek to glorify God above all things, as Peter says. This is indeed a good first reaction. But the trouble is, my desires are often mixed because of sin. It's quite possible for me to want to do the right thing, to want to glorify God, even as I end up glorifying myself. This is why Jesus, for example, talks about those who in his day would stand on the street corners praying aloud. I'm sure they had their eyes looking up toward heaven as they did, but they probably also had their eye looking off towards the side. And they wanted people to say, "See how good I am. See how devout I am. Don't you wish you could be as pious as me?" And he also talks about those who sought the best places in the synagogue. They were going to church, sure, but they made sure that everyone else could see that they had gone. Or those who loved to be called teacher or to be called rabbi, even for a pretense making long prayers, even as in private they were ignoring God's word and devouring widows' houses. Religion for them had become no more than a show. It was a performance to lift themselves up, to get others talking about them. And Jesus warned that they had already received their reward. Now, I'm sure that this kind of blatant hypocrisy horrifies us, and it should horrify us. We should want to avoid acting in that way. But before we pat ourselves on the back and thank God that we're not like them, let us remember that self-glorification is not something that happens only in public. I don't need a crowd in order to seek my own glory. It is a temptation that I face as a Christian, even when I am alone. Because sometimes Christians, the one that I'm trying to impress is me. I do what I do because of my pride. I give to the poor like God wants me to because, well, I want to feel good about myself. I pray as God tells me to because I'm a good person. I read a lot of books about God or about the Bible because that's what someone like me does. I claim to do what God wants, but it's not for his sake, but rather for the sake of my own self-image, my own self-understanding. But Christians, glorifying yourself like this will always show itself. You'll always be able to see it. Perhaps by excusing sin or excusing our failures, saying that it doesn't really matter that I didn't do what God wanted because God is going to love me anyway. How could he not? And perhaps it will happen because we become puffed up when somebody actually does notice and they say something to us about it so that what was already there grows even more. But it especially happens, Christians, by a sense of contempt, to hold others as being not as good as I am, or as smart as I am, or as aware as I am, or as pious as I am. And it is this contempt, this self-centered attitude that leads us away from good works, because it only lifts itself up. It only wants to be praised for itself, even if I'm the only one giving the praise. But glorifying God is something different, Christians. Because glorifying God is not interested in myself or my self-image or my self-esteem. In fact, glorifying God doesn't care whether others notice it or not. It simply seeks to do what God wants because God wants it, and to do it for the sake of those who need it. Be self-controlled and sober-minded, Peter says, not so that others would be impressed by it, but for the sake of your prayers, so that you would not be distracted from coming to God who gives all things, and distracted from praying for the needs of others. Let us love one another earnestly, Peter says, something that self-glory simply cannot do, because God is glorified when we forgive one another and bear with one another's weakness. Show hospitality without grumbling, Peter says, not so that others would praise your generosity, but so that they would see the generosity of God who first welcomed you. And use the gifts that God has given you, not to draw attention to yourself, but to build someone else up. That is what we are called to do in glorifying God. But how does this glorify God, we might ask? Well, partly because others will hear about him at the same time. We will tell them that I'm doing this for you for the sake of God, and I also want to tell you about the love of God that he has shown us in Jesus Christ. In that way, God is certainly glorified. But it happens especially because others will see God at work in you. When we deny ourselves, Christians, then others will see God. Because then what we are doing will be so completely different from the world that it could only come from God. Forgiving enemies is not something that the world is going to do. That's something that God does. And seeking to remain unknown, even in big things, is not something that the world is going to understand. That can only come from God. In this way, the world sees God in you. Because in this way, we become like Christ, who has given himself for our sake, who humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross, and through his own suffering and self-denial, he glorified the Father in everything that he did, and glorified him also in showing his love toward us. Therefore, Christians, let us walk in his way. Let us deny ourselves, so that in everything God may be glorified in him. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, who in love humbled yourself for our sake, teach us to deny ourselves and to follow after you, so that you may be glorified in all things. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.